This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Talk Live, you may dial toll free to join us here. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype as well. The Skype username is lrn.fm. So coming up here tonight, there is a story about two, I don't know if you want to call them dating sites, because one of them is AshleyMadison.com, which is basically a cheating website. And then there's another one that is competing with them, and Ashley Madison is now suing this competitor because they say they are infringing.
Were they acting unfairly?
Well, they say they're infringing on Ashley Madison's branding. So we'll tell you about that coming up here in moments. For those who don't remember, Ashley Madison was that site that got in some hot water after they got hacked and lost millions of names. I think like 30-something million account names and information about their account holders. So they are back in the news now. Also, Melanie, you've got a story about a 90-year-old woman who was kicked out of a nursing home.
Yes.
So we can start here with the metro.co.uk, the infidelity app. Ashley Madison has threatened to sue a rival sex app after accusing it of copying its trademarks. Ruby Life, the firm which owns Ashley Madison, has ordered a hookup app called Casual X to immediately change its branding and slogan or face legal action. The cheating website is concerned that Casual X, which markets itself as the Tinder for casual sex, isn't that what Tinder is for?
I thought that's what Tinder was. That was my understanding of Tinder. I've never gone on it, so I couldn't tell you. But that was my understanding of Tinder.
I haven't either. I guess I have met people who have like met an actual person that they're in a relationship with.
That doesn't mean that Tinder isn't a hookup app.
Right, right. In most circumstances, I've always heard people refer to it as a
hookup app. Like, I've heard that the only thing you put on there is like a photo in one sentence.
Really? I don't know about that. I can't imagine it's
true,
like that.
Then that's a hookup app.
Yeah. That'd be, wow. I don't know, like I said. But Ashley Madison says, the cheating website is concerned. Again, Ashley Madison is concerned that Casual X, which markets itself for the Tinder for casual sex, advertises its services with the words, quote, "Life is boring. Desire a fling?" Ashley Madison feels this is too similar to its own slogan, which is, "Life is short, have an affair."
Just the fact that Ashley Madison is suing anyone for really anything is just humorous in and of itself.
Well, and, you know, I got to say, I have heard of Ashley Madison, but I've never heard of this competitor until now.
Well, it's probably new.
So, yeah, I understand that, but they're getting more press coverage now because Ashley Madison is suing them. So, you know, otherwise, Casual X never would have gotten this particular media coverage, and I'm sure we're not the only people talking about this. It's also called on Casual X to stop using a picture showing a masked woman pressing a finger to her lips, which they say is similar to an image used by Ashley Madison.
Yeah, they're not going to have IP on people standing with fingers.
The two pictures do look somewhat similar. There are masked women with fingers to their lips. But again, is that illegal to have a similar photograph?
As someone who is not an expert in IP at all, I'm going to go with no.
Yeah. Now, you did go to law school.
That doesn't make me competent in IP. I am not competent in IP.
Yeah, but you're more competent in being an attorney than the average listener.
It depends on what we're talking about. And some things, my guess is as good as yours, and this is kind of bordering where that line is.
Ashley Madison is dedicated to helping married people have affairs, while Casual X, they say, is just interested in helping anyone enjoy a spot of no-strings-attached sex. Metro.co.uk has obtained a letter sent by an attorney for the Infidelity Service describing the images. It said, quote, the main memorable elements that will be remembered by any consumer would be flowing hair, a finger raised to the lips, and the mask. Unquote. They went on to discuss the slogans used by both firms. Quote, the only two differences in the slogans are the presence of the words boring versus short and desire versus have. In fact, even I, being a trademark lawyer, made a mistake of replacing fling with affair. Casual X's Jeffrey Zhang said the demands were unreasonable and said, quote, our image and their trademark are quite different. He says their trademark doesn't have a mask, while our image has a mask. Also, the woman on their trademark picture wears a wedding ring, which indicates that their service is for married people. The woman on our trademark doesn't wear a wedding ring. He says people can easily distinguish life is short, have an affair, from life is boring, have a fling. He also said the small firm could not match the legal firepower of Ashley Madison, and that rebranding would hamper their efforts to win new customers. While the slogan took inspiration from the Infidelity website's own words, Zhang told us he didn't think that it infringed copyright. But we need to spend a lot of efforts and time to reshape the branding awareness because the image has been featured on some big media sites and has been seen by many people. Quote, also, our app was once featured in Apple on their trending list. If we change the image, we'll have to create a new branding image for our potential customers. So there is the current spat between some of the adult websites out there. Your comments are certainly welcome. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. Now, of course, as libertarians, many libertarians don't agree on the issue of intellectual property. And this is a very, very big issue when it comes to libertarians, because the true, in my opinion, libertarian position is that intellectual property does not exist.
Right. It doesn't. I will admit, though, that that is kind of one of the more difficult issues that isn't immediately obvious.
Because it says the word property, and libertarians support property.
Well, not necessarily because it says the word property. Even if you delve into it, you do run into some issues that you don't run into with buildings or cars or computers.
It's like being able to copy something a million times on a computer and not deleting the original. Like, what are some of the issues that you're referring to?
So there is kind of an incentive issue where, on the face of it, but you kind of have to keep in mind that we're only used to the system we live under, but on the face of it, it appears that if you get rid of IP, then there'll be no incentive to create content. That's not
false.
True,
yeah.
But it seems to be the case if you live in a society with the state, which is every society.
Right, because people can't envision, they believe that without the government protecting the monopoly on these ideas, that would mean that creators, inventors, people that create art or movies or music or whatever, would not be able to create and get the rewards that they can currently get, because the idea is they're protected from competition.
Right, and I mean, I don't think that that's as easy to kind of, because you can kind of picture like, okay, well, if we didn't have police, then instead of this horrible system, we could have private security companies. There's things that are kind of like that already exist. You can kind of conceptualize what that would look like. Well, you just hire someone who's stronger and or has more guns than you. Like, that's pretty simple and straightforward. Whereas IP, it's a little bit more complex with that, and the concern is, one person makes something, they don't get paid, and then anybody who wants to can just copy it, which isn't how that would play out, but that's how it seems. I mean, this is one of the last two things that I kind of had to let go of.
Oh, you were in favor of intellectual property previously?
I mean, I was a statist previously,
right.
As a minarchist, that was one of the two hardest, that and national defense, which I think does make some sense, because there are issues there. But they're not issues that are solved by the state. So if you look at the current situation that we do live under, where you have, I don't remember if it was Ford, but it was one of the car companies who were suing people for IP for tampering with the cars that they outright owned.
Whoa.
You have Monsanto suing farmers for IP because something may or may not have... Not anybody who went and stole Monsanto seeds, but, like, the wind blew seeds on the farm, and
right.
Monsanto's like, you owe us money. Like,
that's crazy.
These are the results of IP. So there is no perfect system, like, in anything.
Certainly. Let's continue the discussion here in moments on intellectual property. And you don't have to comment on the Ashley Madison case. I just thought that was ridiculous. But they're suing some other company because they have a similar picture on their website and a slogan that kind of rings similar. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. What a waste of time and money going through all these lawsuits. It's Free Talk Live.
Whether you share content as a curator or produce it as a creator, the source of your advertising revenue is often limited by intermediaries like YouTube. What if there was a way to connect content creators directly with advertisers, decentralizing attention-based market advertising transactions, and putting the control back into the hands of content owners? Introducing the revolutionary Signal Token Protocol by Spective VR. Partnered with Blend Media, the largest network of 360 video content in the world, and featured on Fox Business's Innovations, Spective VR is a 360 VR streaming platform created to be the first use case and early adopter of the Signal Token Protocol, driving real use and allowing Spective to optimize their platform. SpectiveVR.com is hosting a pre-ICO for Signal Tokens starting December 8th at a 40% bonus. For early access to the token sale and an exclusive 60% token bonus, sign up for the email list at SpectiveVR.com.
I got my Blink Home security system delivered right to my door. I downloaded the app and it walked me right through the easy setup. Even with my complicated router system, I was done in like 10 minutes. Now it notifies me whenever something moves in front of the wireless cameras, or I can just check it whenever I want right from my phone. And I got you a deal. Get three Blink cams for what the other guys charge you for one. Plus, an extra 10% off. Visit BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL. BlinkProtect.com/FTL.
Dash is digital cash. A digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash at Dash.org and help build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at Dash.org.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Join us here. Bring up anything you want. Our number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Joining you tonight is Ian.
And Melanie.
Also, we've got Skype at Skype username lrn.fm, so feel free to connect with us there if you like. Of course, there's lots to talk about here tonight on the way. Melanie's got a story about a 90-year-old woman kicked out of a nursing home, but we're talking right now a bit about intellectual property. We can get back into that here in moments. Want to also let you know about Dash, digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, it can be private and easy. Fees are low, transactions are quick, and can be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for pennies on the dollar. Dash is decentralized and run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. So join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. You can take back control over your financial future today and find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why. So, Melanie, you were describing some of the difficulties of, I guess, expressing the idea of getting rid of intellectual property, that we have grown up in a culture, in a society that accepts the idea that if an artist puts a series of paint drops on a canvas or a series of musical notes in a certain order or a series of ones and zeros together in a certain order, that they have the ability to then have the government from that point forward, as a violent criminal gang, go and enforce their believed ownership of those particular orders of paint drops or musical notes or ones and zeros and such.
Right, and it's not the most insane thing that statism has ever come up with. It's, you know, presented as, okay, so you work to create something, so then you get paid if there's anybody who wants to use that thing.
Right.
It facially, it makes sense. It's not just some random, just kind of obscure, we're gonna randomly attack people because we feel like it, although at the end of the day, that's what it is. It doesn't really present itself that way as obvious as some other things. I mean, it's not like the drug war where it's obviously, okay, you're just attacking people because you feel like it.
Right.
It's not, you know, a parking ticket. It's not payroll taxes. There seems to be some connection between doing work and getting paid, but that's not how it turns out. And especially if you consider the fact that IP doesn't protect the person who creates it. IP protects the first person to the state.
The first person to get a patent or a copyright,
yeah,
or whatever.
So that's an additional issue. And yeah, from the philosophical standpoint, okay, so you can't own an idea because you can't own neurons in other people's brains. You can't own an idea, and that means that if somebody takes an idea you thought of and puts it in their property, whether that be a hard drive or a piece of paper or mm-hmm. whatever, you can't then lay some claim to that property. So you do have you kind of have to pick between physical property and IP, which one you want to believe in, because they are in conflict. If somebody goes and illegally downloads 20 songs, in order for you to tell them they can't do that, you have to make a claim to their iPad, computer, whatever it is they have.
Yeah, basically the claim is that they've ordered ones and zeros in an order that you have some sort of monopoly over, and so therefore you have the ability, by, you know, legal plunder, the government coming in and forcing your viewpoint on these people, that you would have the ability to remove the series of ones and zeros from that device, because we're talking about data, and that's how data is stored, to remove it from the device, and then claim some kind of price for it, claim some kind of damages that you've been supposedly stolen from, which I think is a lot of the reason why you see libertarians supporting intellectual property. Again, there's a big, I would say, divide within libertarians, because libertarians...
I don't know how big that divide is. I think most people get it.
You think so? Okay. We
might be defining libertarians a little bit differently, and that might be the issue. If you define, like, all of the LP as libertarians,
the LP is
like
the Libertarian
that.
Party. I wouldn't call those people libertarians, but I mean, let me try to give their argument, and I'm sure there's probably some pro IP libertarian out there that can do a better job of this than me, but the argument is basically, well, libertarians believe in property. That's like one of the sort of the key elements of being a libertarian, is that you believe in the idea of property. I mean, generally, a libertarian is somebody who doesn't think that force should be used to achieve political or social goals. But most libertarians would agree with the statement that property as a concept is one that should exist.
Well, a libertarian is somebody who doesn't believe in the initiation of force, which is a little bit different than what you just said.
Sorry, I didn't say initiation of force. Thank you for that, yes. To oppose the initiation of force to achieve political or social goals is the general statement that one would have to sign in order to join the Libertarian Party. And that doesn't really speak to anything about property ownership, but in general...
Well, it does.
Not really.
That's the conclusion that you get if you believe in non-initiation of force.
You could believe in non-initiation of force and also not believe in property.
No, you can't.
Why?
Because you can't take something that somebody else used themselves to create, then you're making a claim on that person.
Run that by me one more time.
Okay, so if I use myself to create something, whether it's...
Use your mind or your hands or whatever.
Whether it's a field of crops or whether it's a pile of Bitcoin, whatever it is, and then you try to take that thing, you're taking an extension of me, so you're making a claim on me.
You're someone
which
who believes
is
in property.
Against me.
Right. So, and I believe in property as well. You also, what you're saying is that you believe that the effort that you put into a thing, you're combining natural resources with your labor, your mind, and you create some sort of thing from that, or till the land, and, you know, homestead, and these kind of concepts. I agree with them, but to somebody who does not believe in property, they just don't. They're not
right,
even
so
on the same page
I,
to start.
I agree that there are people who say that they believe in non-initiation of force, and probably some of them believe that, and also say that they don't believe in property, but those two things are, in fact, mutually exclusive.
Well, I mean, they would have to probably make a better argument than me, because I believe in property. I think it's useful that we have the idea of property. It's clearly, you know, I think been a good thing over time for people to be able to own things, because they take better care of the things that they own. But somebody who did not believe in property would simply just not see what they were doing as the use of force. Oh, I'm hungry. There's an apple tree. I'm going to, you know, pick the apple from the apple tree.
Well, I don't think that most people, especially most anarchists, even have that thought process. Like, oh, I'm going to call the cops on my neighbor for being loud. Is that a violation of the initiation of force? I don't think that's a question that crosses most people's minds.
No,
so it doesn't really seem relevant to me what they think about whether or not it's a NAP violation.
Either a NAP is a non-aggression principle.
It either initiates force or it doesn't. Whether they are aware of that is entirely irrelevant.
Well, whether it initiates force or not is all a matter of whether you believe in property, right? Like, if you don't believe in property, then you wouldn't necessarily see it as an initiation of force.
There is an answer, so somebody is wrong.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's... I mean, I like the idea of property, but I don't know if it's necessarily wrong for somebody to not believe in it. There's more coming up here. If you want to share your thoughts, 855-450-FREE.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts EASY66 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY66 to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. EASY66 to 85850.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to the looting of stores and city shutdowns, and our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us here toll free at 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype as well, so feel free to Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. And joining you here tonight, it's Ian.
And Melanie.
Also, if you are interested in learning about Bitcoin, you should go to bitcoin.com. Great place to go and get started to learn the basics about what Bitcoin is or what it used to be and what it's become, which is a bit of a subject of controversy. But if you want to learn more, Bitcoin right now at around $19,000 per Bitcoin. It hit a record high within the last 48 hours of nearly $20,000. Not quite. Didn't quite make it if you're looking at the Bitcoin average price, which takes a bunch of different world exchanges and gets the average price for the globe. Anyway, go to Bitcoin.com. Great place to get started to learn the basics. And if you're old school or you just want the latest news headlines, they've got that too. You go to news.bitcoin.com. You'll get plenty of news about the Bitcoin universe there. Once again, that's news.bitcoin.com. As we go to Philip, he's on the line. We were talking about intellectual property, and Melanie, we can get back into that here in a moment. But Philip's on the line in, I believe, Michigan. Go ahead.
That's right. I had a question about Bitcoins, especially when it comes to transaction fees. And
yeah.
I understand that the transaction fee can vary based on how many inputs the transaction has.
Yeah.
I guess inputs are like, so if you receive several fragments of a coin and then you want to send a whole coin, you're going to be having several inputs. Let's say you got 20 fractions of a coin over time, then you send the whole coin.
That's right.
You've got 20 inputs.
That's as I understand it, and I am not an engineer when it comes to anything. So that's my basic understanding of it as well. I wish we didn't have to talk about how fees work, because it's... I think you've done a good job of kind of making it as basic and as simple as possible, but it does, you know, it seems so complicated when, you know, we normally would have just been talking to people about, oh, well, here's your Bitcoin wallet, and you can put your Bitcoin in it, and then you can send from it, and people wouldn't have to know the technical aspects of why the fees are what they are, because, you know, a few years ago, the fees were only like a cent or 2 cents or something like that, and no one would have cared, you know, where the Bitcoin was coming from or how many different clumps it was pulling from, or inputs, as you put it, it was pulling from. But now, with the fees, median fee being $15 these days, many fees higher than that, it becomes more important to explain fees. And I just wish we didn't have to.
Well, I certainly know no more about Bitcoin than you do. I don't own any Bitcoin myself. Mm. I was just trying to understand some of the technical aspects of it. And so I think as you go over time, the price of a fee is going to go up and up as the blockchain becomes more and more fragmented. I was wondering if there is any way or any plans that they have to, like, defragment the Bitcoin holding. So, Ian, let's say you've got 20 Bitcoins, and it just defragments it all. Here's 20 Bitcoins in a contiguous block rather than, you know.
You can do that on your own. They can't do that because they don't have your private keys. So with Bitcoin, you're the one who holds your private keys, unless, of course, you've given your private keys up or given the responsibility for them up to another company, like, let's say, Coinbase, who normally would hold your private keys for you, which gives them control over your Bitcoin. But in most Bitcoin wallets, you're the one who has control of it. There's no administrator that you can turn to say, hey, buddy, can you clean up this blockchain? It's a bit messy. So if that's what you want to do...
How would you go about doing it yourself, though?
Yeah, so if that's what you want to do, then what you would have to do is take... let's say your wallet, as you gave this example of 20 bitcoins, which most people in the world would never get that many bitcoins these days, but let's go with it. You've got 20 bitcoins, and they've been, you know, pulled in from various different places over many years, and they're in, you know, 250 different little input clump things. You could then just move all 20 bitcoins into one wallet in one fell swoop and pay, try to set a low fee in the hopes that it would confirm eventually, and then it would all be existing in that one place after you accomplish that.
And I think that would probably be advantageous for people if they wanted to use bitcoins on a microtransaction level.
You can't use bitcoins on a microtransaction level, even if it's coming from one place. Yeah, but even if it's coming from one place, you're still not going to get much below $10. For a transaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not going
to
happen.
I was just thinking that if someone wanted to use something, let's say buy $100 of something, it'd be easier if their wallet was defragmented, if you will.
I guess. But then again, you still have to pay a fee to try to defragment it in the first place. And if you pay a low fee, then your transactions might get stuck. I've had transactions stuck from a low fee now for coming up on, almost 2 weeks at this point. They're just sitting out
there. I know you have Roger on the show occasionally. It'd be interesting if you asked him some of those questions about those fragmentations at some point.
Which question did you want me to ask him?
Oh, about fragmentation and how the blockchain, how somebody can defragment their holdings.
I think, or I just gave you an example of how you could do that. You can just send it all to one address.
Prices over time.
Well, Roger Ver, I mean, I can't speak for him, but I'm pretty sure he is not a fan of what's going on the Bitcoin Core BTC network. So, I mean, the prices are screwed. Until they fix the scaling issues that are happening with Bitcoin Core, then you're going to see escalating fee prices over time. If it continues to be a currency that people use, and it seems by all indications that people are still using it, which is why we're seeing, you know, the fees being what they are. If all of a sudden the usage drops down by, you know, let's say it cuts down to a tenth of what it is today, then maybe we'll see some lower fees. But ultimately, there's no hope at this point for the near future that Bitcoin Core's fees will be in any way reasonable. And restructuring your Bitcoin, as I suggested, is one way to do it. Also, you could send it to a SegWit address, which might lower your fees by about 25% as well. So that would be another way. So if you were going to do that restructuring thing, you would want to send it probably to a SegWit address. But the problem is most wallets haven't implemented the SegWit technology, so good luck finding one. So the whole thing is a cluster F, and it's an embarrassment, and it's really too bad. It really is. Phil, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. I mean, I don't get any pleasure from seeing Bitcoin fail like this. I mean, it's failing on one hand because it's useless as far as being able to send it for any kind of retail transaction, basically under $500, you know, whereas it used to be useful for buying a cup of coffee.
It's kind of not that useful for really any transaction.
It used to be useful
for any level of transaction. It's not, right. I mean, even if I was going to go buy something for a couple hundred dollars, like a $10 fee is still kind of steep.
It is a lot. I mean,
even a traditional credit card, they don't charge on the same end, but they only charge about 3%.
That's correct.
So you'd have to be spending a lot of money to get close to that.
Right. So at a $500, 3% would be what? $15, right? In that case? No,
3%.
Right.
Yeah, so
1% of 500 is $5. So 3% would be $15. Right? So in that case, you would be paying a little bit less, but again, as you pointed out, the credit card company docks the merchant, whereas with Bitcoin, the sender pays the fee. So in a typical credit card merchant transaction, the fee comes out of the price of the item, whereas with Bitcoin, if you're buying a $500 thing, you're paying $515 on top of that, or $520, whatever the fee is, on top of the total price. So it hits the consumer even harder when these fees go up. I actually just had a guy who is a local here in the Keene area send me a text over the weekend saying, I was just at Corner News, which is the local like little newsstand here in Keene that accepts Bitcoin and now accepts Dash. And he says, and I was paying with Bitcoin, the total was $10, but I ended up spending $28. And he said, is there a tax on Bitcoin now? And I had to explain to him, I said, well, technically it's not a tax, but it sure does feel like one, in that it's not the government coming in.
Well, I wouldn't characterize it like that. That's not
what would you characterize
really,
it as?
It's a fee. I mean, no, you're
is
not
it fee
going
another
to,
word for tax in some places?
No,
I've seen
because
the New Hampshire government calls them fees sometimes.
They can call it fees all they want, but they're taxes if it's being charged by the state of New Hampshire.
That's all I'm saying.
If I'm
is
saying
it's not
I'm
state.
Providing the service, I'll do it for $15, you can say no.
Yeah, but he didn't notice. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom because it doesn't... well, we'll continue here in a moment, so I'll tell you the rest of the story. Free talk.
Young lady from the rescue delivered happy, and I panicked. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby, and I thought, what did I get us into? The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect. The other owners didn't care enough about him to give him the nutrition he needed, but I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dinovite.
DinoVite.com.
I ordered the first 90-day supply, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy. He just had a glow and a bounce about him. We've been using Dinovite for the last year, and Happy the Rescue Dog is Happy the Healthy Dog. I tell all my friends who have rescues to give their dog the chance at a new start with Dinovite. It's going to pay off for you and your dog for years to come.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. DinoVite.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection, Horace?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. We can get back into intellectual property here in a moment. We actually had a caller on the line about Bitcoin and the outrageous fees that are being charged now for Bitcoin transmissions in order to send a Bitcoin or a fraction of a Bitcoin. You, the sender, have to pay a fee to the network in order to, you know, the fee goes to the miners, and the miners use those fees to upgrade their equipment, and they get rewarded for the work that they do, and the work that they do has to do with confirming transactions on the network and making sure there's no double spends or fraud going on the blockchain, and the miners do a good job of that. But the problem with Bitcoin is that, or the problem with Bitcoin Core, I suppose I should say, because Bitcoin to me is like this thing that doesn't really exist anymore. But Bitcoin Core, which is what the original Bitcoin has become, is that it's full. And the network is just loaded up with transactions. In fact, I heard that they hit a new record high, which is not a good kind of record high. Yes, the price is hitting record highs. That's good. But on the other hand, the blockchain's mempool, the place where transactions sit until they're able to be cleared into a block, which the blocks are the sort of the guts of the blockchain, which is this public ledger that is ultimately what Bitcoin is. It's this public ledger with this digital cryptocurrency that is decentralized and distributed amongst thousands of locations on copies of that ledger. So what you've got a problem here is that the transactions are full. In fact, the overflow, this mempool, is now over 200 megabytes in size, so it is massively overfull at this point. As I mentioned earlier, I've got transactions that I sent a low fee on almost 2 weeks ago. They're stuck. And I've tried the transaction accelerator services, and those have not worked to get those transactions confirmed. So that Bitcoin's just sitting out there. It's not useful in my wallet. It's not useful in the wallet to which it was being sent. It's just kind of in transition and has been for a while. Now, Melanie, you asked me a question about a person who is at a local shop here in town in Keene, New Hampshire. They happened to contact me about this, which is how I found out about this occurrence. But he had purchased some Bitcoin at some point in the past, had not really done much with it, right? A lot of people buy Bitcoin and they sit on it. And then he went to Corner News and tried to buy $10 worth of, you know, a pack of cigarettes or whatever it was that he was buying, bong or something. So he was trying to buy a $10 product, and he scanned their QR code to pay with Bitcoin, hit send, and then later he noticed that, oh, that $10 purchase cost me $28 in Bitcoin. What? And so he sent me a question asking, is Bitcoin being taxed? And I said, well, no. It's not being taxed because technically it's not the government who's coming
in. Well, and
in
no one is stealing it. So if someone hacked into your Bitcoin wallet and stole 10% once a year, yeah, and you said, is this a tax? Well, there's an argument to be made for that.
I understand what you're saying.
Charging a fee for a service is not a tax.
I agree with what you're saying there. However, when the fee for the service is unexpected, when the fee for the service is more than double the actual price of the service itself, it's not unreasonable, and you should be able to understand why somebody who may not be as, let's say, good at defining the word tax as you or I might be, because we know that it has to do with the government.
Okay, yeah, so if a state has said to me, is this a tax, I would explain why it wasn't,
but
I wouldn't be like, oh, well, you shouldn't be using that word that way. Whereas if a libertarian said that, like, we know we have a problem. Like,
I didn't tell you this was a libertarian. I said this was a local person.
But you said it was a tax.
No, I didn't say it was a tax. He said, is this a tax, or is Bitcoin being taxed? And I said, no. However, I can understand why it feels as though it is a tax. Now, you're using the definition of tax that has to do with the government, but the general, there's a second definition of tax, which is to say a burdensome charge, an obligation, a duty, or a demand.
That's not in general usage, at least in the States, and not in any English-speaking country I've come across online either.
I've seen people use it. The old joke about taxing your kids' ice cream, you know, to teach them what a tax is.
Okay, but that's a joke that's intentionally a metaphor.
Yeah. Look, Melanie, I get what you're saying the definition of a tax is, but when you get hit with a twice the size of the transaction or a, you know, 150% of the size of a transaction fee on top of a fee, you could understand why somebody might confuse that with a tax, right? Like, just looking at it at a glance, oh, the total of the sale was $10. Then you look at your wallet after the amount that you thought was $10 was taken out, and it was, in fact, $28 worth of amount that got taken out. You're going to wonder what the hell just happened.
Right, yeah, it's a problem. You might say it's an unreasonable fee.
It is.
That's not an oxymoron in and of itself, but that's
It's completely unreasonable. And that's what I told him. I said, it's not a tax, but I don't blame you for feeling like it is one, because you just got jacked, just like when the tax man comes around. It feels the same, whether it's a fee or whether it's the government charging the fee and then calling it a tax. Because, again, the New Hampshire state government will also charge you fees, but we all know those are taxes.
Things that aren't things other than what they are.
So I made it clear to him
that
it wasn't the state that was doing this, that this was a problem with Bitcoin and the Bitcoin fees. But this is not something that I want to have to explain to people. This is something that is happening.
Especially not after we've convinced them to adopt Bitcoin, right?
And so you would ask the question, well, how could he not notice?
And maybe his wallet works different than mine, but when I buy something at a retail location, I scan the thing and it comes up, do you want to send X Federal Reserve notes? And I have to tell it yes or no.
Yeah, I don't know.
And maybe
which
that's not how his wallet works. I don't know.
I didn't ask him which wallet he was using, but you're certainly right that if you pay attention, most wallets will present you with the amount of the fee, and then you can go ahead and decide whether or not you want to move ahead with sending that amount. But it's certainly possible. I mean, I've worked in retail long enough to know that customers are notoriously bad for not paying attention to things.
Yeah, people have done that with credit cards. People have done that with credit cards at Walmart. If, you know, somebody else's order was still on there and they had, and if it's like a couple dollars off, I can see how you wouldn't notice. You go in and buy, especially in a state that has sales tax, mm-hmm. you go in and buy $100 worth of stuff. It was supposed to be 104 and it was 107. You're not going to catch that. But if it was supposed to be 100 right. and it's 900,
yeah.
or in this case, what is it, about 150%, and it's, you know, 250,
mm-hmm.
you should catch that before you swipe the card, because
sure.
the amount's on the thing.
Buyer beware,
usually
definitely.
Usually the cashier says it out loud, so you
yep.
can't really control that. They're supposed to, but it's on the screen. Like, there's no way for you to not know that.
In this case, you may not know it.
But
if
I don't
you just
know
hit
if that's
send.
How his Bitcoin
right.
wallet works.
I don't know either, but even if your wallet does show you the amount, if you're not paying close attention and you're not actually reading what's on the screen, like, oh, I got to hit yes again? Okay, I just want to send this money. And again, that's the mistake of the buyer in that particular case. He should have been paying closer attention, but there's a lot of things that we want customers to do that they're just terrible at doing. And I know what
it's
like.
I can't make somebody be reasonable. So I'm not asking you to sit down and read the 5-page long service agreement for iTunes.
Yeah.
That might
Nobody
be
does that.
A useless, that might even be a useless request, because if you don't know that type of law, you're not going to understand it anyway,
right.
so it's a waste of time.
And they can change the terms later.
Right, yeah, so I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to look at the dollar amount
I'm
that
with
comes
you.
Up when you
look,
say yes.
Have you ever worked in retail?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you know what I'm talking about, where customers are completely oblivious to almost everything going on around them. I mean,
I'm not saying this guy in particular, because I don't know what his wallet interface looks like. But if it's on the wallet, and I feel like it should be.
It should be.
Then
let's presume it is.
You can't make a person act like a person. That's not, there's no computer program that you could possibly make that will make somebody pay attention to the one, not even one sentence, like one symbol across the screen before
yeah.
they hit yes. There's no computer program on this earth that, or that could be written mathematically that can make that occur. You can't make
that.
Somebody act like a person. And if they're not going to do that,
yeah, I get
then
you. I get you.
Probably going to be screwed.
There's no doubt about it.
Couple of
I
times.
Mean, buyer beware. People need to pay attention. But I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. As much as you might want someone to pay attention, they frequently do not.
Okay, but
and
I'm not going to sit here and say cars are defective because people try to read newspapers while they're driving. It's not a problem with cars. It's a problem with people.
No, the problem here is the fact that
is
to somebody
wallet.
Who's not paying attention, they just had a bad experience. This person is now quite soured on the idea of Bitcoin. Now, again, you can blame the customer all you want, but the fact is Bitcoin's the broken part. The customer made a mistake, but Bitcoin ultimately is broken because they're charging $15 fees. We got more coming up here. 855-450 free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel, and you'll love the way they look. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to relax a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. Plus, you don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.